This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And Brian Altano.
Rap, rap.
Who's your friend, Brian?
There's a skeleton head here. If you're listening to the show, this just sounds insane, but I found a small plastic skull.
Well, let's hear the sound of that jaw.
Rap, rap.
Hey,
it's horrible, horrible moment.
Perfect.
Well, we've got a great
That's
show.
Skull of the year, Damon.
That's skull of the year.
It's good to see you guys.
Defy me.
Yeah. We're going to have a great show for you this week. Our own Sam Claiborne has played 6 hours of Resident Evil 2.
That's true. Actually, yes.
And he's ready. He's going to review the game for us.
I made Mitchell play a little bit of it because it was too scary.
Yeah, pretty scary. Do you have it?
No, I went to Capcom to play it, and it was awesome. They have a Capcom carpet, and it was all blue and yellow in there. It was really cool.
The Cap carpet.
Like, normally when you go to a game developer space,
Capcom.
It's not that cool.
Yeah. We're also going to look through the December 1996
Capcom
issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly, which is over 350 pages long, so that's going to take up the bulk of the hour.
Did you put these little wads of paper in there?
Nope, they're already there. Ooh. The wads are not mine.
All right. There's little bookmarks
disclaimer.
In the CGM. For look how many pages this is.
Over 350.
Over 50 plus. Pages.
All right. Wait. For the listeners.
Oh!
That's the sound of that book.
There's a lot of weird sound effects on this
there
episode
really
so far.
Is.
But first, it is the most wonderful time of the year when we wrap up all the best of, and on the other side of the spectrum, the worst of 2018. Our best of nominees went up this week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone knows the best of. You know, your Gods of War, mm-hmm. your Assassin's Creed Odysseys, your mm-hmm. Red Dead Redemptions. They get enough.
No-brainers.
They get enough of the ink. It's time to talk about the worst games of 2018.
Did you figure them out?
I figured them out.
You got the list?
Got the list.
All right.
Let's start near the top of the list.
Are we going to do one of those roll credits things where they go up really fast?
Now, Damon, for the criteria here, are these the worst reviewed games on IGN?
Well,
or just on Metacritic?
I think these are all games that IGN reviewed. There may be a couple of them that we didn't even review.
Okay.
Because, you know, to be fair, we don't review most of the bad games.
Yeah.
Right. You know, there's not much.
Biggest letdown games, maybe.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. The worst reviewed games of the year. But, like, if there's a game that nobody's ever heard of and it's terrible, we're not doing anyone a service by reviewing it.
No.
It's just like,
no.
Hey, you know, here's a game you've never heard of. It's really bad.
Wait, before you start this, did anybody at this table, in your opinion, do you think any of us actually played one of these games? We'll find out as we play.
I'd say there's one for sure.
I play a surprising amount of games.
Yeah, Ryan does play a lot of
Well, there's...
There's a couple of these games I think we've played, and there's a console on this list that some of us have played as well.
Right.
But we start near the top of this list, and also near the top of the year with Metal Gear Survive. Which, to be fair, our reviewer, Chloe Rad, actually liked it more than a lot of other outlets. Mm-hmm. Chloe gave it a 6.5. Its Metacritic,
that's the high end?
Its Metacritic is 54.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say that's a little better than I expected for whatever we thought this game would be based on, like, the weird, just leftover, you know, dinner that they made out of whatever Kojima left in the fridge 3 years ago. Like, they were cooking with old ingredients, basically.
Were you at Gamescom? I think you were. It was like last year they announced. Yeah,
we had that exclusive.
It was a really weird situation where everybody's like, "Yay, this is okay. Mm-hmm. What is this?"
And then Konami never made another video game ever.
That's
except
true.
For soccer.
That was a weird scenario because it's like, what do you do as a Metal Gear fan at that point? You just play the old ones?
Well, yeah. I checked before this taping. 78 people play Metal Gear Survive on PC on Steam today. So there's that.
All right.
Yeah.
78 people.
That's a stat.
Yeah.
Today.
That's 78 people to check in on over the holidays.
Are you guys okay?
What if they're all playing with each other and they're just having the best time?
I mean,
exactly,
I hope they are.
It. Yeah.
No, my theory is that they just left Steam on 6 months ago.
All right, moving on.
Are you gonna spit water?
I might have. It's okay, it's down.
Man, I wish if you had spit water, that would have been good TV.
It was so close.
Would have done that.
Oh gosh.
More recently, there was Overkill's The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
which is at least 3 years too late for that licensed game, right?
Yeah. You know, what's scary about that is that their publisher was just raided by...
is that Starbreeze?
Yeah.
Which is the publisher, it's not the developer, right? Well, so Overkill is the developer?
Well, I know they're the publisher.
Is that why it's Overkill's
The Psychonauts?
Mm-hmm. The publisher of Psychonauts 2?
Starbreeze is. Yeah, Psychonauts 2. Okay. So it scares me that they're in some kind of financial trouble. Like the Swedish police raided their studio to find evidence of, I think they're being accused of some sort of insider trading.
Never a good sign.
Yeah. But it's bad for, I don't know much about this Walking Dead game except for their booth at E3 was huge.
Yeah, it was right across from us.
Yeah, as there were zombies crawling up on the front of the
stage.
That's
the kind of booth that only insider trading can buy you.
Exactly. Alleged.
We gave Overkill's The Walking Dead a 5.3. Its Metacritic is 51, so we're right in that ballpark there. And then our review says, co-op zombie splattering will never be devoid of fun, but Overkill's The Walking Dead is lacking in both the series' storytelling and technical polish.
Mm-hmm. Remember there was another Walking Dead single-player game based on...
I think it was worse than this one.
We had an exclusive reveal of that, Greg Miller and I, on a very old episode of Up at Noon. Wow. It was our most popular episode of Up at Noon for a very long time because of that reveal. It was sort of tail-ended a big moment on the TV show, and I think the TV show took a break. This was very early on in the show. And then we kicked to the new trailer.
But it's Norman Reedus-based.
Yes. It was...
Death Stranding.
Daryl and Merle or whatever. Daryl and Merle, whatever their names
are. Daryl and Merle.
Yeah, Daryl and Merle. And it was like a co-op... first-person shooter Walking Dead game, and it was very bad.
Yeah. Was there a motorcycle scene in it?
Probably too hard to
make. Ride motorcycles?
I don't think they even let you do that.
And that brings us to Fallout 76.
There it is.
Which
we gave
one of the worst games this year.
Well, Sam, we gave it a 5.
Uh-huh.
Its Metacritic is 49.
Damn!
It's on the bottom half of the scale.
Okay.
And I want to point this out. Our most read news article, video game news headline of the year was Fallout 76 announced. So the fact that that's the most read video game news article and the fact that we're talking about this on the worst games of the year must mean it's the biggest disappointment.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, that gap between
people were so excited. And then
bang. I was not excited after like the first 10 minutes of the reveal.
Yeah, but when you go back and listen to E3, there were some lofty promises made in that press conference. And then since then, there's been the canvas bag debacle and everything else.
The only promise I heard was that it'd still be fun for single players.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to catch hell for this.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
These games...
You said something about Sonic?
No, I'm not.
All right.
Too soon.
Get Sonic
out
of this.
Soon.
I'll let his new movie posters do all the talking.
So sexy.
These, such a wide leg spread.
Spread them.
Bethesda open world games have always been broken, almost like riding the just the razor wire of garbage and great. Always. Always.
But fun broken.
But for yeah.
Saved yes. by
yeah.
like really well yeah. written stories and
exactly, yeah, exactly.
gameplay.
Yeah. And also, like, in past generations, all the wonkiness was something that we gave a free pass to. We called it charm. You know, that was part of the it was part true. Of the aesthetic. Like, yeah. when if Ubisoft came out and, like, they had a guy whose half his body was stuck in the tree, we'd be like, oh, boycott the game. It'd be a meme. But with yeah. Bethesda, you'd be like, oh, I can't wait to meet that guy. Yeah. Maybe he'll be me one day. And then generations went on, and people figured out how to make really good open world games, and they just kind of kept doing their old thing. And for the first time ever, people are noticing that maybe this has been a problem for a long time, and this doesn't fly anymore, and so I'm kind of glad to see this happen.
Wait, can you say that statement about Bethesda one more time?
About Sonic's legs?
No, that what was it? It was walking the line between
garbage and great. Is that Skull? for you audio listeners?
Skull had a reaction to that.
Skull turns to the camera and looked at the audience
and melts.
Yeah.
All right. Enough has been said about Fallout 76. We know it's very disappointing.
The canvas bags thing, though.
Yeah, that is something.
Like, and then the people who called to complain about the canvas bags got their information leaked.
Yeah,
it is just this situation that is. Just
this week. There's this whole thing about its super wide mode is just stretched. It's not so, the actual like native yeah. super wide mode. They just stretched the game.
This
out.
Is
it's
the
like,
this is the fire festival of games.
Yeah,
and they
the FYRE festival of
yeah.
games.
They credited people in-game credits or atoms or whatever that didn't even buy a canvas bag
yeah.
in the game.
They gave them five fake dollars or whatever yeah, to buy a tree.
Pretty rough.
It's yeah, okay.
All right. Here's a few games IGN elected not to review, but I think they're significant. Scribblenauts Showdown came out this year for Switch. That has a 47 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
How do you screw up Scribblenauts?
I want to say.
I'll tell you exactly how. You don't make Scribblenauts. You make like a really half-assed, loosely concocted minigame collection with the Scribblenauts logo on it. Mm. That wasn't the core, like the core ideology of that game was originally type anything and it will appear on screen, right? It was this wonderful magician's trick that I won't say fooled all of us, but was like a really novel thing in 2009, 2010. And then we all sort of saw through it after a while. But this game doesn't really do any of that. It's just sort of just like a mini game collection.
Yeah.
And it price dropped almost immediately.
And like the personality of Mr. Scribblenaut is not strong enough to carry that.
Kevin the Scribbler?
He has like a silly name.
I don't have no
it
idea.
He does have a name.
Yeah.
It's not Mr. Scribblenauts.
It's like Ike or something.
It's definitely not Kevin the Scribbler.
Mr. Scribbs.
I'm sticking with Mr. Scribbs. Oh. But yeah, if there's not there's not boy. Like a cast of like delightful characters like WarioWare has. Or something
right,
like that,
right. Never forget, Scribblenauts was our game of E3. 2010? Right.
Yeah, 2009, 2010, yeah.
Whenever that year
was. And that was next to Arkham Knight, and it was at the WB booth next to Arkham Knight.
Well, yeah. It was the year of Left 4 Dead.
Yep.
It's all crazy. That stuff.
Now, Nickelodeon Kart Racers should be a no-brainer if they just like got it right. If it was a working kart racer,
have
with
you
Nickelodeon
seen
license.
Ninja Turtles right now? The state that's in.
You think that's the reason this got?
I'm not. No, I'm just saying. In general, but Nickelodeon can do good things and very
CJ
bad.
CJ the other
things.
Day, I was like, he has kids, and I was asking, what's Nickelodeon like nowadays? And he said, all right, so what does Nickelodeon do nowadays? And he said, they ruin Ninja Turtles.
Exactly.
That was his exact answer.
They butchered it. So
Ninja Turtles is on Nickelodeon now.
Yeah,
that's
been for
that's
a long time.
Also news to
well,
me.
Well, how do they ruin Ninja Turtles?
Well, the 2012 Ninja Turtles series they did with the animation that was digital was really good. This is all 2D stuff and it's terrible. Like Raphael's the leader now and he's got Tomfas and Leonardo and everything. Like
he's got what?
Tomfas.
What's
like,
that?
Exactly. Like the sticks. He doesn't have size anymore. It's weird.
It's like a non-violent thing?
I don't know.
Violent?
Well, yeah, it's terrible. Okay. So that's exactly.
Do they still eat pizza?
Barely. It's really weird. Just saying, check it out,
they actually,
man.
They
it's
just
weird.
Do like acai bowls.
I don't
now.
Know. It's like the whole thing is just weird.
So, is this have like a Guts racer? It has Olmec from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
No, this is way more. This is way more like late '90s, early 2000s. This is like SpongeBob and like a bunch of other dudes you don't. You don't.
No Ren and Stimpy. Rugrats. Are the Rugrats in there?
I think so. Yeah. The
it doesn't have Donkey
they let
Lips
the babies
in it.
Drive.
Missed opportunity.
Donkey Lips. Donkey Lips is definitely not in.
Nickelodeon Kart Racers. has a 39 on Metacritic.
Oh, oof. Wow, that's yeah. rough.
Oof.
Then there's Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn.
Ooh.
That's intentionally bad.
That came out this year. I'm just saying it was intentionally bad and then got bad reviews.
Did you say that bad. To Shaq? Because you actually met him, wasn't it, this year?
I interviewed him because of this game before this game came out, and then I got a code for this game, and I did that thing that I hadn't done since like the 80s or 90s where I didn't realize I was playing a bad game until like 20 minutes into it. My issue with this game was like it's a fairly competent side-scrolling beat-em-up, but each level is like 7 hours long and just keeps going, and it defeats the whole purpose. But no, I got to meet Shaq. That's a very funny video. So
that is good.
Was something he promoting this game?
Yeah.
Really? I thought it was something else.
Did Shaq play the game? Did you ask him, hey, have you played this?
I don't know. He did voice acting for it.
That doesn't mean he played.
There was a previous Shaq Fu game.
Yeah. From old school. And
which, like,
it's a writing game.
The running joke with that is that it's one of the worst games of all time. Yes. And that this game was supposed to set things right. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. So, well, Shaq Fu, so Legend Reborn has a 36 on Metacritic.
That did
36
not set Reborn. It right.
yeah, I don't know about all these, like, there's all these 16-bit games that no one's really asking to be brought back that are being brought back, like Shaq Fu, Toe Jam and Earl. Years ago, there was supposed to be a new Boogerman, but then that sort of quietly
don't
went away.
Don't you dare lump in Boogerman with these charlatans.
I'm just saying it went away.
A pick and flick adventure, part two.
Here's a game that IGN did review, Agony. That game was going for shock value.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, we ended up reviewing that?
We gave it a 4.
That was the one that was set in Hades.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, in hell. Huh. And it's so gross and so gory and violent.
Oh, man, watch our video review of that. It's so just immature and silly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our review says, Agony proves that, like beauty, horror can be only skin deep. With gratuitous amounts of violence and masochistic overtones, this blood-soaked adventure is not for the faint of heart. But while its bold and detailed environments depict hell in the most nightmarish ways possible, even the fantastically obscene sights and creepy sounds become mundane and dull by the end of its series of repetitious mazes, unimaginative item hunts, and weak stealth gameplay.
They worked harder on that two-sentence write-up than they did in that whole game. Wow.
They went in on like that this, one. I think like what it was like when they were putting Mortal Kombat on trial in like 1992.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if like the Parents Media Resource Council or whatever it was that put them on that really made a big stink, could just see this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
They'd just be pulling their hair out and just wailing.
What happened to your Pac-Mans? Where's the pizza that eats the ghosts?
We gave Agony a 4. It has a 34 on Metacritic.
Accurate.
There's a Square Enix game on this list.
What?
Does anybody know which one it is?
Ooh.
It was announced at E3.
What? Okay.
This year.
And it's an unconventional game.
Okay.
Is it a mobile game?
No.
Is it?
I was going to say like a mobile version of something that we are like, but it turned out bad on mobile.
It's The Quiet Man.
What?
Remember that sort of interactive live action fiction
game
about I think he's a mute?
Is that the Elijah Wood game?
No. Okay. That's Transference Ubisoft.
Mm.
No, this was a live action game from Square Enix that they announced at E3 called The Quiet Man, where he doesn't speak. I don't know if he's deaf or not. Our own David Griffin reviewed it. He says, in a gaming landscape where sensory overload is everywhere, The Quiet Man offers something quite different and unexpected. The bold choice to mute out nearly all sound effectively adds mystery and tension. But Dane's story is brief and not especially original, and the combat becomes repetitive very quickly, making this movie-slash-game hybrid difficult to recommend as something you'd want to experience as a whole. He gave it a 5.5. It has a 30 on Metacritic.
Wow.
Ooh, he was generous.
I can't believe that's a Square Enix game.
It's full motion video?
Yeah, well, it's like not. It's just video.
Well,
yeah,
it's like a live
it's
action.
It's not 97.
I was going to say it's a Sega CD.
Can it be ported to the Sega CD?
Exactly.
Is my question.
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing.
Also, getting a 5.5 from IGN was the PlayStation Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah.
People were disappointed with that
bummer
console.
Yeah, that was that one. I was wary of that thing from the start. The second we found out about it and we only heard about 5 of the games on the list,
yeah.
I was like, What's up with that? My nose was suspect.
And we were talking about the, what's a better console. A lot of people have fond nostalgia for the PlayStation 1, but they did not pick very many games that I would have, picked for that system.
Yeah.
It's really plastic weird. Is great. Like, I love how
the quality.
The packaging as well.
It's just cool. It's true. The packaging. Yeah, I really like the box.
Totally cool.
I just love the idea of the miniature of these classic systems. I think that's really
cool. I mean, if you could buy a hollow one of those for $10, like just the shell, and put it under your TV, and it'll bring you joy all the time, that's great.
And the controllers, they work hard. I mean, they do feel right, and they're cool. They're like smaller. Mm-hmm.
But that's amazing. People are buying it for the nostalgia of the actual system. The games themselves did not hold up.
The UI was bad. It was like, it looked like when you pirated Winamp in the 90s. Yeah. Like, it was just like so bare bones.
And I never owned a PlayStation 1. So I heard that that was the memory card selection menu in PlayStation 1.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it looks like that.
So it's a reference to that.
Well, there's even this PAL NTSC thing too, where supposedly you plug in a keyboard, it goes from like 60, which is basically the speed that it's supposed to be at in America, but a lot of the games are preset to PAL, which is 50. Yeah. So
I was unclear on why they did it that way.
Yeah, I don't know either. So, weird things.
You can work really hard on presenting an emulation well and doing all this restoration, and including extras and stuff like the SNK collection had this year. But if and that would have even helped this, but in both those, like, you know, the games really matter.
Yeah.
And that collection of games on PlayStation just wasn't great. And I don't know if we can make a good collection of games on a PlayStation Classic. Like, I don't know if that's...
You can, if you include stuff like Symphony of the Night.
Right.
And Einhander.
I just don't know if those are licensable.
But I'm just saying, those 2D games still hold up really
well. Yeah, I'm amazed. Well, I'm not amazed, because, like, Symphony of the Night launched on PSN like a week before this thing came out.
Which one now?
Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, and the Requiem.
Yeah, collection. Rondo or whatever.
It's kind of a mess of a collection, too.
Yeah.
Well, the games are fine. Once you get into the... It's just like, it's not presented well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like a loving portrait of these great castles.
Once you get into Symphony of the Night, you're just playing Symphony of the Night. And it's
Mm-hmm. A side note, I started messing with that Genesis collection. I felt the same way about it. Like, once you're in the games, you're like, okay, this is cool, but it puts you in this big living room.
Yeah.
And like,
Yeah.
It's hard to get that right. Shout out to, you know, guys like Frank Cifaldi, who were working super hard on preserving that stuff and making sure that entire experience is cohesive and good. They're doing a really good job.
I wonder what's going to happen, because it takes a long time to make a system like that. Like, you have to plan for that a long time in advance. Like PlayStation Classic.
Yeah. You also don't get a second chance.
Somebody else is making that too.
I know. Yeah. You don't get to just course correct it. You have to get...
What's going to happen with these in the future?
You got to get it right the first
time. Nintendo's are not doing the 64.
They said they're not doing the NES and the SNES after this holiday also. Those are going into the Disney vault, basically. So
I don't know what else. I mean, I'd love... personally, TurboGrafx or something like that. But there's not a lot of other systems that I would like to see this done for. But like, I mean, we got more NES games.
Neo Geo and Commodore 64 Mini this year, and nobody cared about
them. Yeah,
Commodore 64, we walked through that. I loved that system and played tons of those games. That was a bad curated list.
We couldn't figure out how to like load up games.
And to get sound barely out of it.
I actually thought it was really cool, but we couldn't get the sound to
work. The unboxing you guys did for that video did surprisingly well on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I was like, actually, because I was sort of like, I had missed the Commodore 64. That was just like, I think my older neighbors down the street had it. And I was kind of like, who's this for? But like, the audience was really into it.
That's like one of those things that was more of a, like, everybody in Europe played PCs at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like, the NES was not popular in Europe. So there's a lot more nostalgia for European kids of that era. Our boss Per Schneider really likes Commodore games. He knew every game on that collection.
He did, yeah.
And like, from like a casual, like how we talk about NES games. Love
Dude, it's great. Cool. Per is known as such a big Nintendo guy, and the NES is such a huge blind spot for him. Like, he doesn't get why we like Mega Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so crazy. I know, he was saying that to me. I was like, what do you mean you don't like Mega Man? I thought he was trolling me.
That's really funny.
I don't think I ever put that together. Because growing up in Germany, you just didn't have access to that.
Right.
NES, it just wasn't big.
Anyway, PlayStation Classic, probably another one of the big disappointments of the year. Yeah. Jurassic World Evolution. That was a game people were sort of...
I was excited for that game.
When it was announced, but I think our own Dan Stapleton reviewed it. He gave that a 4.8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the sort of like park building simulator they got Ian Malcolm to work on for it.
Exactly. Everything was like right for that game. It had like this cool, like, you know, I love the idea of building a park in Jurassic Park. This is not the first game that's done that.
We got a press release today about new DLC being added to that game, new dinosaur packs and stuff. So it apparently found an audience. It was the kind of thing I was like, when they drag and drop this on Xbox Game Pass, I'll give it a shot, because I love dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And Jurassic stuff.
Isn't it funny how first Jurassic Park movie, like, nothing is ever as like universally beloved as that first movie. Like, these movies are fine.
Why is it so hard to make a good Jurassic Park game?
Yeah, why?
It is. I mean,
we've had so many bad Jurassic Park games.
Yeah. The Genesis one was okay, but the animation style was kind of neat, but they were also going along with, they had a hit of other games in that like cool spot, and Aladdin.
What developer should make
Virgin?
We should just give it to Kojima.
Well, No, Capcom did it in Dino Crisis. Just do that.
Yeah.
No,
Capcom
just
should do it. That'd
just
be cool.
Give it to the Far Cry Monster team. To give it to the Far Cry team and just be like, Far this Cry here's team. Here's like Montana. It's overrun with dinosaurs. They're buried there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just bring them up from the grave and then just let me run around and shoot them and like you know, lasso Sony them, ride them.
Putting zombie out like dinosaurs. Dinosaur zombies.
Yeah.
Wait, no, zombie dinosaurs.
Well, they danced around this so many times. They did Blood Dragon, which is like fake future dinosaurs. They did Primal, which is like right before or right after the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. You know, like. Yeah. Right after, not before.
Turok. So. It's the only dinosaur game that I can think of. For
and it's trash.
Was,
well, it's bad.
It was okay.
No, it's
people liked
okay.
Turok at the time. People,
it was good at the time.
It's not a good game.
There's lots of mist. People.
Same people that like Attack of the Clones.
Oh,
it's not good things. You were just young. It's okay.
I like how Sony like took Spider-Man. They're like, we'll just make a good Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like somebody, a first party could do that. Like Microsoft could just be like, let's just get the Jurassic Park license. Put a great team on it and make a great game.
That would be so awesome.
That'd be cool.
Because typically before that, like movie IP games were not great. Batman, I think, the Arkham games for Xbox 360, it's like, oh, cool, what a surprise. Prior to that, like, they were kind of hit and miss.
Yeah. IGN Australia reviewed a game called AO Tennis and gave it a 4.5, which is a little
adults
surprising.
Only?
You would think Adults Only Tennis would be a pretty easy sell.
I thought it was America Online.
I wasn't sure, but thanks for clarifying.
They just got it down there.
Matt Hoffman's Adults Only Tennis.
Do you actually know what it is?
It's just a tennis game called AO Tennis.
But we don't know what the AO stands for?
Australian Open Tennis.
Oh, probably, yeah.
That's more maybe. Like
did I do it?
Yeah.
I think you did.
I prefer Adults Only Tennis.
Yeah, it's a new Itagaki game, or who published it?
Exactly.
It actually stands for Already On Sale. Why did this game get such bad reviews?
I guess they messed it up.
You just have to hit the ball back and forth.
I know.
Says me, guy that knows nothing about game design.
There was Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery. That's a mobile game that came out early this year. We gave that a 3.5.
Ooh, man.
Did review it.
What is it?
Apparently has abhorrent microtransactions. Our review calls the microtransactions abhorrent.
On mobile?
No.
Yeah.
Then there was Crisis on Planet of the Apes, the VR game.
Oh, yeah. You guys remember you got the leaked, it came out by accident and then Max got it?
That was that game?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It came out a month early by accident in the store.
Oh yeah, it showed up in the store.
And Max and immediately downloaded it and then they're like, don't download that.
And they're like, don't do that. And we're like, we bought it. What do you mean? It's there.
That's happened a couple times this year where there's been like a full game release. It was like Tekken or Soul Calibur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one
somebody
of those
like bought
fighting
it
games,
like early.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay.
We downloaded it. And,
Oops.
We gave Crisis on Planet of the Apes a 3-point-something, and I'm going to give a 3-point-something to the strap line, which is a simian VR shooter so faulty, it'll drive you bananas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How did Dan let that slip?
I don't think he proofreads. I don't think he proofreads in the 3.0 range.
That he just did.
I didn't realize that, but
okay.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Two more games that maybe people haven't even heard of. Underworld Ascendant. An Underworld Ascendant.
Is that based on the film series?
Maybe. We call it a buggy, repetitive, boring mess of an RPG and gave it a 3.
Boom.
I don't know if it is based on the movies.
I was talking about this game yesterday and I was like, what is this game? And somebody explained it to me and I can't even repeat it. I don't even remember.
There you go. Finally, the game that got the lowest score on IGN this year was The Culling 2.
The Culling 2?
The Culling 2. The sequel to The Culling.
The first one? Yeah.
What is it?
We said, even if the servers had enough players to start a round of The Culling 2, we wouldn't recommend it. This Battle Royale is a Royale mess.
Oh,
it's a Battle Royale.
Okay.
Wow. The Culling 2.
Interesting.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, are the worst games.
Worsties
of 2018.
Someone trying to cash in on that VR money.
I can't believe people chasing the Battle Royale trend.
Fitting that the worst review game of the year is a Battle Royale game.
Yeah. No, totally. Well, it's like, it's such a weird thing to swing and a miss on because it's like, you have to have, it has to be popular to work.
Yeah.
Like it just has to. And so immediately at the gate, if it's not, it instantly dies. Mm-hmm. If you can't get 100 people to airdrop into a level for one game, it just doesn't
78
work.
People dropped into Metal Gear Survive today.
There's just bots. It's full of bots. It's like this.
Again,
bot.
Check in on those people, see if they're okay.
All right, Sam, like we were saying at the top of the show, you played Resident Evil 2 for 6 hours, and you have nothing but positive things to say.
I think it's the game I'm looking forward to the most out of any game in the future.
And you didn't finish
it? And it's even the near future.
Yeah.
And it's month really away.
Did you finish it?
Away. No, it's really long. I think I played Resident Evil 2,
mm-hmm.
at my desk like 2 weeks ago on Nintendo 64.
You didn't play Resident Evil 2 in 1998 when it was released.
No, and I didn't even play much of it, so I don't care. But Resident Evil 4 is one of my favorite games ever, and this is absolutely just, it's like Resident Evil 4 just got like this direct sequel that they thought about, you know, really hard, and they thought, how great can we make this without adding co-op?
When you were over there rolling around on that Capcom carpet, stuff. Did you ask them when they're putting Resident Evil 4 on Switch? Because that's important news.
On Switch?
Yeah, they announced that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd play it on Switch, I guess.
What?
Game. Now that I played this game, you're going to want a remake of it, though. Mm. Like, full on, because like this game looks so good. And all the Resident Evil up-res stuff, like, for 4, it looks all right, but I love that game.
You underestimate how many times and where I would play Resident
it's
Evil
so
4.
Fun to play.
I played it on iPhone.
Again.
You know?
I played Infinite when it came out on Wii, I played it, you know, I'd already played it several times. I played it on PS2, GameCube, and then I played it on Wii, and that's the definitive version, I
so
think.
What's Resident Evil 4-ish about this game?
It's really focused on like this kind of like good action combat in just the right sized environments. So you're like always feeling a little bit of the pressure of not having enough ammo. The balance is so good in this. You always have like 6 bullets left. Always. It's awful. It's like every corner you go around, you hear a moan. You're like, oh, I can't even explore that area right now because I don't have enough bullets to deal with.
Can you shoot?
I love that feeling.
Can you shoot the ankle or the knee? Yeah. And then he, like, the guy leans down and you run up and you, like, hurricane kick him or you suplex or whatever?
Oh, actually, I didn't know. I don't know if he can do that big finishing move. That was so useful once you do
that. Yeah, that's how you keep those 6 bullets.
You use a knife and you do the thing where like you can shoot them under the ground and you just go slash, 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 slash.
And then they start getting up and they grab your
knife. Stay down! And there's just blood everywhere. It's so gross. And then sometimes they start getting up again, but the knife really helps. But what you can do is when you do the finishing move, you can use it once because you lose your knife in the zombie.
What?
And then it's just on the ground somewhere.
What do you mean? It falls out of him?
It like sticks in its head and then it's just gone.
What are you talking about?
Can you pick it up?
Yeah, then you have to go like search the ground.
Search his goop, like his pile.
All the dead zombies are like, which one did I leave the knife in?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's
it's really
so gross. I love
really
it.
Scary. So that's all great. And then just this thing happened while I was playing, which I didn't know was I think it's from a New Game Plus in the previous game. But a giant giant chases you, like when you're being slow.
What do you mean?
Do you guys know about this?
Like in 3,
yeah,
Nemesis.
Yeah,
I think it might be the Nemesis.
But like, wait, is it a giant like an El Gigante from 4? Like
no,
the big guys?
It's not that big. It's like right between that and a person.
Okay, is he wearing some leather?
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like this giant in this crazy outfit. Uh-huh. If you spend too long in an area, it's like boom, 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 boom. You're like and you have no ammo and you can't.
So you're just on the ground like rooting around for that old knife and those boys, and then like the giant shows up to kill you.
Yeah, but there's like this combination of the thing in Resident Evil where there's like really dark, quiet sections, and you're exploring and you're finding plants to mash together, and that's all fun, and that all feels good. And then all of a sudden, you just realize you've been in an action movie for 10 minutes, but you don't even feel that transition.
I can't wait for this.
There's like this, the sewer scene with a oversized creature in it, and it's just like Resident Evil 4, where like there's these scenes where you're like running towards the camera, and you're like doing like dodging, and you realize like when you kind of play it back in your mind, like that was composed like the coolest action movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it looked so good; it was fun to play. I just couldn't be more excited for this game. It's great.
Well, it's heartening to me to hear that from you, to know that you didn't play Resident Evil 2 back in the day, so your mind isn't clouded by nostalgia.
Right.
You're just taking this new game for what it is, and that's really exciting.
Well, and like I did like 5. But not. This is already, I like what I played for this, but better than 5. And I 100%ed 5, like all the achievements and everything. But this is like such a better game. And it has a, it has this, well, it's just like such a, 6 was so bad. And 7 was fun, but not Resident Evil. But this is like the Resident Evil 4 sequel that I'm really excited for.
That is very exciting.
That is great news.
Yeah. It's just over a month away. And in honor of Resident Evil 2, I dug up IGN's review of Resident Evil 2 from 1998. So we're going to revisit that in a second. It's 1998, written by IGN staff. So we don't know who to credit for this.
I was wondering.
Ooh, yeah.
But this draft line was, Resident Evil 2 should be sponsored by Huggies. It's both pant-creamingly good and trouser-soilingly scary.
Oh, my God.
Why did you bring this?
Did you say, Brad? Did you ask?
Did you say pant creamingly? The IGN staff said that
pant creamingly
good. It should be sponsored by Huggies. Now, Huggies don't usually help with that first thing.
Yeah,
that's not what Huggies are for.
I mean,
yeah,
pants. It was the 90s.
Exactly.
Wow. I've chosen some quotes here. So the review says, Resident Evil 2 is perhaps the most anticipated and heavily hyped video game sequel in history.
Yep.
Was it hyped?
Yeah.
That's what we thought in 98.
Resident Evil 1, yeah, for sure.
The question is, does Resident Evil 2 live up to the hoopla surrounding its release? For the most part, the answer is yes. Character selection in Resident Evil 2 has a much bigger impact on how you play the game than it did in the first one. The zombies don't take it any easier on the fairer sex. Now, when you finish the game using one of the characters, you keep your game data and start over with the other character. And what you did the first time through the game impacts the scenarios you face as the other character. This is easily Capcom's biggest improvement and bolsters Resident Evil 2's replayability tremendously.
Wow.
Despite all the improvements, there are still a few things to complain about. Aiming is still difficult, especially if you get trapped at the edge of a camera's view. The puzzles are better paced, but less interesting than in the first game, posing little challenge to the experienced adventure gamer. Inventory management is also still a pain, requiring you to run back and forth between storage boxes for necessary items you forgot to pack, although Capcom did ameliorate this a little by including an inventory pack that you can find. Mm. One area where Capcom is dead on is atmosphere. That's what you were just talking about. Yeah. The graphics, sound effects, music, and level design all work together to create a spooky, horror-filled world that really keeps you on the edge of your seat.
I just played that original game, though. It's like the boxiest, funniest like world. Mm-hmm.
In fact, Resident Evil 2 may have the best sound design yet for a console game. A lot of really wonderful things can and will be said by reviewers about Resident Evil 2.
Like pant-creamingly.
It's a good sequel. It's a superb game in its own right, and it will consume your life for hours, but it's not a quantum leap forward in the evolution of the game or the genre. With fourth-wave titles like Metal Gear Solid on the way, Resident Evil 2 just isn't quite the groundbreaker that the first one was.
The hell is fourth wave?
Fourth wave titles like Metal Gear Solid.
Does that just mean the console generation?
I don't know what that means. Oh. We gave it a 9.3. IGN staff gave it a 9.3.
IGN staff. I mean, now I just want to list all the people that I know who were here in those early 2000s.
98 was like three
Not
dudes.
Early 2000s.
Well, I guess, but
98.
Like, yeah. I mean, most of those people made it to 2000, though. I mean, we'll have to figure it out.
It's probably Fran.
Craig?
I'll message him right now.
Pant creaming.
That brings us to the December 1996 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly, Street Fighter.
Sweet.
Three. How does it bring us to this?
That's right.
Street Fighter 3. because there's mention of Resident Evil 2 in this issue.
Oh, no way.
That's awesome.
The just really, really terrible Street Fighter art is here on the
game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It doesn't look anything like it.
It's really, really bad.
I pointed out to Damon earlier, it looks like he's got a little pig crawling up his arm.
Yeah, like if you...
It looks like a pig or a baby, like a butt.
Okay.
The art looks like weird. If you got robbed by Ken and Ryu and you told a police sketch artist to draw them, that's what Ken and Ryu look
pretty
like.
Pretty off.
Also, right here on the cover, there's a Pitfall 3D blowout.
Remember Pitfall 3D?
Pitfall.
Let's blow it out.
Brought to you by Huggies.
Yeah.
In 1996, Pitfall was a big enough deal to tell people on the cover of your magazine, we got a blowout.
A blowout.
For Pitfall.
Hey, Damon, to be fair, they had to fill 600 pages a month. So.
That's true. Exactly. Pitfall was great in the old days. Super Pitfall and those other NES games. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Oh, man, where did it... Oh, yeah. So here, early on the issue, they're talking about the launch of the Nintendo 64. Remember, this is December 96.
Right.
It had been out for about 4 months or so.
Oh, right.
I love the column named Tidbits.
Yeah, Tidbits. they talk about Clockwork Knight on, I think it was a Sega Saturn game.
Tidbits.
So they talk about
Tidbits.
Here...
Oh, good.
There's a whole feature here. There's a graph, an infographic. Days it took for these consoles to sell 100,000 copies.
Okay.
So it took the Sega Saturn... 224 days to sell 100,000 copies.
Okay.
The PlayStation, 91 days. The Nintendo 64, 1 day.
Wow.
Ooh, wow.
1 day to sell 100,000 copies.
It's definitely going to outsell the PlayStation now.
And then in tidbits, here's a tidbit. Maybe a scoop gem, Sam. Mm-hmm. This story comes from EGM's Online Pals. For those who couldn't get enough of the Mortal Kombat movie soundtrack, TVT Records plans to follow it up with a more Mortal Kombat CD.
Filled
with additional high energy tracks. Cuts on this album from bands such as God Lives Underwater and Sepultura were recorded exclusively for this project, reps said.
I remember the Mortal Kombat. First of all, that Mortal Kombat song was like a radio hit.
That was great.
So it makes total sense. And there was a CD, and I remember I didn't own it, but I remember the CD existed.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Here's another tidbit. It was exactly 1 year ago when EGM first brought word of the R-Zone from Tiger Electronics. a lightweight LCD game system with plug-in cartridges. Its selling hook? The R-Zone projected the LCD image onto a specifically coded screen, so it looked as if that game floated in 3D space.
Yeah.
Is anyone familiar with this?
I played it. Yeah, it's I played it as a kid.
It's like a headset that you put on. It's like AR.
Yeah.
It's like Google Glass, right?
This was, for everybody on Earth, this was incredibly stupid. But for Tiger Electronics, this was a huge leap because this is the first time, A, that they had cartridges that you could swap in and out, and B, that they had something other than like just some dopey handheld. Yeah. And so it was this thing that you wore on your head, which I saw at Toys R Us, which weirdly enough—
Does it have a picture?
Toys R Us's video game section at the time was called the R-Zone. Like, wow. Toys R Us had a thing called R-Zone, and so...
Do you wear it on your head, or do you look into it?
No, you wear it on your head. It had, it had,
It's like one
weird...
thing. It's a headband with one screen over one eye where you see the Tiger Electronics LCD game.
Yes.
You play it there.
But that's not it.
That's something... I don't know.
I don't know what that is. They just... Back then, you could put it...
Anyway, I had never heard of this thing. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Did you play Mortal Kombat on it?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
The segment on the...
it was on everything.
The Netlink functionality on the Sega Saturn, explaining how that works.
Oh, yeah.
And then they say, speaking of the internet, this is 1996.
Wait, can you please read one sentence from the Netlink thing? I'm fascinated to see.
For now, the U.S. Netlink can't save web pages or downloaded sounds on disk. Still, it can save a list of email addresses and bookmarks that can be changed by the user.
Yes!
Wow.
Sounds swell.
The internet is here!
It was there in 96.
Speaking of the internet, EGM and its sister video game mags, EGM2, PSX Intelligent Gamer, and Cybersports are merging with one of the hottest gaming spots on the internet to form a growing megasite dubbed Video Game Spot.
Was that GameSpot?
Run by the same high-tech crew that runs GameSpot for PC gamers, Video Game Spot will feature the most up-to-the-minute info on next-generation systems and games, plus exclusive content straight from the editors of EGM. The site should be up and running by the time you read this at videogamespot.com.
That's
do
awesome.
It. Find out.
Well,
it's
I think
we have friends
to.
At GameSpot. I want to ask them to bring back Cyber Sports.
It's not there anymore.
Uh-oh,
I want to bring back PSX Intelligent Gamer.
I subscribe to PSX Idiot Gamer myself.
It's just weird that they had a site called GameSpot and they're like, we can't just put console games on this. This is GameSpot. We have to start something else.
Video Game Spot.
That's so
now
cool.
It's just nothing.
That they were trying to incorporate web pages and emails.
Stop recording. We got to buy this website.
All right, do it. What is it?
It's available.
It's okay. You can sign up right
Video
now.
Game Spot available.
Video Game Spot. VideoGameSpot.com
really?
Is available.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool,
crazy.
Though.
Here's another tidbit. Hell hath no fury like Sony scorned. The company's
Shakespeare said it.
Entertainment division has let loose its lawyers on companies allegedly selling counterfeit and gray market PlayStation games.
Mm.
Sony filed several federal lawsuits against companies that have sold mod chips.
That's right.
These chips, when installed in a PlayStation system, override the software security measures to let gamers play import and counterfeit games. I totally did that.
Yep.
The company contends these devices infringe on copyright and trademark laws owned by Sony. In addition, anyway, they're just reporting on.
Was it hard to put in the card or the mod?
No, you just opened it up, you soldered it in.
Yeah,
I did that.
Yeah, I didn't do it. I had a friend who did it, but that's when like CD-ROMs and all that stuff was like widely available. Napster, burning your own stuff, like that.
This
whole
was
wild west.
By 98, you think you knew people that could burn CDs?
Oh yeah,
I feel like that was more of a 99 thing, but I guess
in that territory where people were starting to get used.
So
to
So your PlayStation suddenly you could just burn a bunch of games for it.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, a spindle of CDs used to be like, $5, but before they would sell them for $20 per disc. So, like, oh, you're saving
Is that the
money.
PlayStation 3 controller?
Hold on, we'll get to that controller.
Boomerang.
Here's a report on advertising in games in 1996.
Oh.
It says advertising has long played a role in video game development. Product spokesmen from Spot to Chester Cheetah have landed starring roles in 16-bit video games.
Yo Noid.
In addition, numerous companies have linked product promotions to their games, notably in sports titles. However, the 32-bit standard has brought new technology to the board and new possibilities for advertising in video games. Two recent titles offer a glimpse into how ads could find solace in video games. The first comes from the Japanese version of Fighting Vipers. A soft drink mascot from TV ads, Pepsi Man, is a hidden character in the Sega Saturn game.
Okay.
Sony's Jet Moto has also made ads a part of that game.
Wow.
Is that what those Nestle Crunch backgrounds are from, Jet Moto?
Yeah.
That's Mountain Dew.
So you see Nestle Crunch and Butterfinger in there.
That's crazy.
The writing in this magazine is making me realize that everything that we're doing nowadays is going to sound so stupid in 15 years.
Yeah.
Everything we're doing.
Not only that, but
there's just no chance to be cool in 10 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's up to you future
That's cool.
video game podcasters to unearth all the dumb stuff we've said.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at how ugly this controller is. Destroy them with style, it says. I don't even know how you hold this thing. It's like a Batarang.
Yeah, the PlayStation controller initially at one point in time was like that when they had concept models prior.
Like, yeah, the original one that looked like a boomerang.
Yeah. It's just so much extra.
It already looks like somebody ate pizza and used the controller before you.
remember Yonoid? Yonoid was like, I think, a Domino's pizza thing for NES.
I talk about Yonoid on every episode.
Dude, I need to be on more episodes, Sam.
Yeah, you
Yonoid.
You do need to be Yonoid. On more episodes, CJ.
Thanks, man.
Here's a tech report called Look Out for DVD.
Whoa!
There it is.
CD I hope you're sitting.
And DVD.
1996.
Films you can watch at home on a flat thing.
Forget the age-old debate about cartridges versus compact discs. The next big war facing gamers could be between DVDs and CD-ROM software. A report released by Simba Information states DVD will begin muscling in on CD-ROM's turf as early as 1997. While the report indicates CD-ROM sales will still grow. Anyway, it's just...
What was the last system with CD-ROM? Just PlayStation?
Yeah, but I mean, there was even...
Was the Dreamcast DVD?
Well, most of them have been DVD... No, I mean, there was battle... The only other battle was, like, the Blu-ray battle between, like, HD DVD and Blu-ray.
No, but they're saying that the format of, like, the Sega CD and the PlayStation is CD-ROM.
Right.
And the PlayStation 2 is DVD. And that's why the PlayStation 2 played...
Yeah, the DVDs Trojan horse in it, yeah.
So, like, I wonder if the... Yeah, it was just a weird transition at the time.
Nice.
Oh, there he is. Spot goes to Hollywood.
That's right.
Fancy game.
7-Up.
He's flirting with... He's flirting with the disaster, and his quote says, "Hey, she came on to me first." Oh, so he's like a sex pest,
you know, Spot.
those games were good, man.
To PlayStation and Sega Saturn.
There were multiple cool Spot games.
Does it not say 7-Up anywhere?
There's no 7-Up branding.
What is going on?
That's crazy.
It's a 3D platformer.
You knew that, though.
It says at the bottom, the Spot character is a registered trademark of Dr. Pepper Cadbury North America.
Why doesn't it say 7-Up anywhere?
I don't know.
You was just
Spot
knew.
That established?
I don't know.
Yeah. For 7-Up, absolutely. That's a virgin game.
Dr. Pepper Cadbury North America sounds like a CAPTCHA.
All right. Now it's time for gaming gossip with Quarterman.
All right.
Rumors. Nintendo has had some closed-door discussions with Namco about bringing out a version of Tekken 3 for the Nintendo 64.
Ooh.
That would never happen.
No.
My Q spies are reporting that Tekken 3 is close to 60% complete. The game will have less characters, and it will use Namco's new System 33 hardware. Some are even speculating that Namco may bring out Tekken 3 exclusively for the Nintendo 64.
Oh, man. That definitely didn't happen.
Namco's position is they will use the hardware that will make their games look and play better than their arcade arch nemesis, Sega.
So good. Yeah. That was a 32-bit comment.
That was the best gossip
of
that whole column?
Yep, that was the only good gossip.
Oh, my gosh.
And here we go. Here's the first preview of Resident Evil 2.
Is it
on
short?
PS4, yeah. Well, they just have some screenshots and a few tests of the first Resident Evil game gave PlayStation owners a reason to shout. Blood, gore, and a macabre setting that hasn't been duplicated since, well, until now.
All right, skip to Time Commando. What's going on with that?
That's a video game that's advertised from Activision. I wanted to mention this. There's an ad for a game called Time Commando, which I've never heard
that's
of.
That's a good name.
It came that to PlayStation. Is. There's a quote from GameSpot. It's 2 a.m. I'm still playing Time Commando. And then there's also a quote from happypuppy.com. That says Time Commando could rewrite the book on fighting games.
Happypuppy.com?
They quoted happypuppy.com.
Is that like a dog care website that I'm like nervous. Moonlights as a video game review
I'm
outlet?
Sure it was like a placeholder.
Also that quote that said that they're still playing it at 2 a.m. It doesn't tell you when they started playing it.
Yeah. It's 5 minutes.
I started at 1:55.
Yeah. Also available.
Happypuppy.com?
It's unclear if it's available because it has a bunch of sections on it, like Game S.
If it says dating games
game.
And Simpson games.
Yeah, dating games and then the Simpsons game.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here.
Weird.
We got a Wayback Machine that. I'm fascinated to see what that is now.
Guys, on page 44, there's a preview for Castlevania 5.
Whoa. What did that end up being?
Symphony of the Night.
Oh, no.
Oh, right.
Damn, that's awesome. Castlevania 5? That's what they were calling it?
Cool.
They were calling it Castlevania 5. The Castlevania saga hasn't had much attention in the past few years. Since the Super NES got Super Castlevania 4, the series has been all but dormant in the States. Gamers who wanted more of the Belmont family's adventures had to resort to buying the import of Dracula X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's super cool.
That's calling it production five. What are we looking for here? Magic?
Montezuma's Revenge. Is that, did that just say that? Flip one more page.
Hold up. Mm-hmm. Hold up. Hold up. I don't know.
That was a Commodore game I loved.
Oh, yeah. There's a Magic the Gathering Magic, Battle Mage advertisement in here. What page am I looking for?
Montezuma's Return.
52.
Man.
Here we go. Preview for Super Mario Kart R. Which is Mario Kart 64.
Oh, gotcha. That's right. Wow, that was the codename for it.
I don't remember that. They were calling it Super Mario Kart R. Development on Super Mario Kart R continues to chug along, and EGM is finally seeing more info on which of the previous racers will appear in this much-anticipated title.
We can reveal that Mario will return.
It looks like, I'm sure this looked unbelievable to people at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That looks very Mode 7 still.
Is like, this like... I don't know how to describe the aesthetic of the 90s, but just show people that.
It was
like,
in your face is the aesthetic. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bad.
All the commercials.
Like
bright yellow.
It was like really short fonts with like foot wide kerning on flat colors and diagonal crap that just said like, rah! And then there was a guy in your face with bloodshot eyes about to throw up.
I love this part. Do you remember a few months now, we found out that there was an old game for PlayStation starring Bruce Willis called Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had never heard of this game, but apparently a few other people had. Bruce Willis starred in a PlayStation 1 game called Apocalypse.
Wow.
Here's a preview for Apocalypse that doesn't mention Bruce Willis. Okay. At all.
Huh.
So prior to his involvement, it's a preview of Apocalypse prior to Bruce Willis's involvement.
I wonder if they were like, this game's a mess. We need a celebrity to save it.
Bring him in.
Probably. Yeah.
Wow.
What am I looking for? 84. On page 84,
scores.
The review crew, they reviewed the first Tomb Raider.
Oh, nice.
The very first Tomb Raider game. They gave it all nines and an eight.
That rules.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine like being... like doing this job the second that game came out. That would have been like mind-blowing.
I know, yeah.
That's such a cool era for games, too.
Yeah.
In the same issue, they review Bubsy 3D.
Oh.
Also not the best era for games.
Famously bad game.
Two threes, a four, and a two.
Yeah.
Accurate.
For that game.
My only anecdote for Bubsy 3D is that there was this YouTuber named Eulilia who put up... not even a YouTuber, but he was doing this stuff like way back in the day. He was doing like some of the first Let's Plays. He's played the game for like almost like 400 hours and like
Bubsy 3D.
Yeah, Bubsy 3D.
Oof.
Like, and he's got this really dull.
Oh yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm even explaining this to you guys.
That's how long it takes to beat the first level.
Yeah,
exactly. NBA Jam. Oh, that's awesome.
I forgot to tell you in these reviews, they give a best feature and a worst feature back then. So for Tomb Raider, they said the best feature is the 3D graphics. The worst feature is lonely levels.
Yeah, it was very empty. Aww.
Yeah. Bubsy, the best feature is the cinemas, and the worst feature was the rest.
Wow. The best part of your game is the movies. Maybe it's not a good game.
Accurate. And reading from the 2.5 blurb from Sushi X says, no, this is not how you treat a perfectly good mascot. What I would like to see come of this review is a return to the drawing board for poor Bubsy 3D.
Oh.
Absolutely no texture mapping is used, so the lack of numerous polygons is painfully obvious. Pretend your control is filled with mud. This is how Bubsy plays.
Oh my
God. Your control is filled with mud? How did the mud get inside the controller?
I don't know, but there are limited textures in that little photo, but
I actually like that description. That's good.
Page 92 there, review Legacy of Kain.
Mm-hmm.
That game is pretty cool.
That was the Amy Hennig game?
That's she at least worked on Soul Reaver, the sequel. I'm not sure if she worked on this first one. They gave that all eights and a nine.
There's also an advertisement of like a giant mouse.
There's an advertisement for a game called Black Dawn on Saturn and PlayStation 1 that appears to be a helicopter like combat game. Why is the helicopter coming out of a giant mouth?
What's the tagline?
Say no to drugs, say yes to bloodshed and what?
And helicopter warfare.
Does it really say that?
So
instead of eating drugs, you eat a helicopter.
It's an eating drugs reference.
So like 100 people worked at this ad studio and they were like, oh, that's perfect. Just put that in the magazine forever.
See, originally it was probably somebody smoking the helicopter, but then they just couldn't.
Yeah,
we wouldn't do that. This magazine, so.
You know, we're in the holidays right now, right? Would you guys like to... bring an old friend home for the holidays?
For Super Nintendo?
It's a full-page ad.
That's a really cool ad.
Miss Pac-Man on Super Nintendo. All it is just a picture of Miss Pac-Man and then the box in the corner.
Once again, just weirdly, vaguely sexualized. Just the tiniest bit. Just 10%.
How? How is this?
Well, she's not wearing clothes, Damon.
She's butt naked in boots, waving with long lashes, Damon.
It was the 90s, Brian.
And it says, bring a friend home for the holidays. There's vaguely sexualism there.
A sick man.
Bookmark that one. I want to make Christmas cards with it.
Okay, that actually would be pretty good.
You have a few days to get that together.
Here you go, Sam.
I know, scant days.
Here you go, Sam. Here's an ad for Pro Pinball. The pinball game's so real, this is the only thing you'll miss. The quarter.
The quarter.
Oh. Yeah.
This game was on PlayStation and Sega Saturn and Mac OS. And then I feel like Rick Stetta, 5-time world pinball champion, who there's a quote from, I feel like you'll identify with him.
Rick
on
looks
some
great
level.
Something about in that this photo.
Guy. Yeah. There's just something about him. I don't know.
Please get a close-up of that guy.
I can just really relate to him. There's something about him.
He has a mustache.
A very big one.
Well, I don't think that's what it is. It's just like we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
I love pinball.
Yeah.
Does this have real machine? No, it's just made up stuff.
Yeah. Pro pinball. Now you need to get a PlayStation.
It's from Interplay.
Yeah.
Interplay. There you
Rip.
Go. Rip Interplay.
What page are we on here? We're going to jump
world.
Way ahead here. There's Namco's Museum. What are we going to show?
You're not even halfway through this yet.
I told you, this is like
there's
the
so
longest
many good
600-page video game
episode. Oh, I love this.
Is there a butt?
This is butt. An ad for Namco Museum Volume 2.
Okay.
And it says, it seems every ad tries to sell you a game with more guts, more butts, more smut, and more nuts. They mean like crazy people. How about more
Thank
fun?
Thank you for qualifying that.
They can't see the photo. And then it says, how about more fun? Presenting Namco Museum Volume 2. But they're trying to have it both ways because they include like a gory photo and then this dominatrix lady photo.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
They're trying to do it
like
both ways.
Like the butts get you into this ad.
The plumber crack there.
Yeah.
Man. Command and Conquer. So good.
Also something funny.
So good.
Tecmo's. Well, gee, I had to jump way. Oh, yeah. Here we go. It's a 2-page ad for Tecmo's Deception.
What is that?
PlayStation.
The name is Tecmo's Deception?
Yeah, I guess so.
Explain.
People just say Deception. I think this is that game where you set traps for people in like a castle or a haunted house.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a.
Look how much the price is.
Yeah.
Still $60.
It was 60. Exactly. I wanted to point this out. This game was $60 in 1996.
Yeah.
There's also like
a deal on games now.
I know.
There's a multiple
really
choice quiz here. And this ad includes a reservation / deposit form for Tecmo's Deception. And it says, Dear Retailer, the customer whose name and address is listed below wishes to place a non-refundable deposit on Tecmo's Deception. Please contact your local game distributor and your central buying office for specific instructions.
So that's a pre-order, right?
A pre-order.
You cut this out and take it to Toys R Us?
Yeah.
What did you get for doing that?
You lost money. That way.
Yeah. I think you get mocked by the clerk.
Yeah.
You lost money forever.
You want me to do what with this magazine?
And you never got it back.
Take that out of my face.
And you made a non-refundable mistake.
I never did anything like that.
And you just cut the review score out on the other side.
I never did anything like that. We're going to jump ahead to page 178. 16 bits last stand.
Oh.
Remember, this is 1996.
Ooh, yep.
That's so sad.
No, 98, right?
This is 96 that we're in.
Oh, there's a couple more years of 16-bit.
I know, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
That's so rude. So
they're trying to point out the 16-bit games that are still coming, but I don't know, guys. Mm-hmm. Arcade's greatest hits.
Yeah, 3.
With Sinistar, Joust, Definitive.
Oh, did we ever get Sinistar? And
Bassmasters Classic Pro Edition, College Football USA 97. Now here's Donkey Kong Country 3.
That's
a pretty legit one.
FIFA 97.
FIFA 97.
Gearheads? Don't remember.
Those guys.
Kirby Superstar.
Yeah, that game became rare because it came out so late. Lolo?
Lobo.
Okay. I was going to say.
The DC character?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What page am I looking for? 20.
Every ad has that same 90s. And exactly what you're talking about. Like tiny font.
Yeah.
Like
it's so weird. It's so weird.
Maui Mallard, which is a Donald Duck game. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're just calling it Maui Mallard. Anyway. I'm looking for page 203.
Look at all the
NHL
games.
These are all 16-bit games. This is a 2-page ad for Bubsy 3D.
Ouch.
In the same magazine that just crapped all over it, too.
Here we go. It's on the Game Boy Pocket. Special feature. Pocket Cool.
That's awesome. Cool. I love man. All of
That's
the
a joke on Pocket Pool.
I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Maybe.
It totally. Is.
Yeah, it is. Totally. I loved all the branding and advertising for this thing. By the way, it was like totally peak Nintendo in your face.
Look how thick that is, though. You'd never put one of those in your pocket.
It's like it would have like a guy holding it, but he's being electrocuted by the fun, and his hair is like straight up.
Yep.
Naturally.
This feature opens with, there's a special place where gamers go to relax and play games that don't always take a lot out of them. This place isn't too far away. It's a place somewhere in between the home systems and the Tiger handhelds. This place is known as the the portables.
Oh man.
Okay, well,
oh,
I could have saved them.
That guy Contra's desperately there. Didn't want
to. I could have got this down to 300. This probably could have been 349 pages without this stupid spread that tells me nothing.
He's like, I want to write like the romantic smut novels that they sell at Safeway.
Guys, we finally come to the blowout on Pitfall 3D.
3D. Oh.
Activision's Rumble in the Jungle.
Uh-oh.
The blowout is 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm worried this game didn't come out. Did this game
four
come
pages
out?
Long.
Four, wait, wow. That's a blowout? The 16-bit thing was like 9 pages, well, and it was mostly Madden.
That was the blowout.
Bubsy's on at least 3 pages in this issue.
All bad.
There's a whole insert here.
Every page is bad.
There's an insert?
For the, but it's a Sega Saturn ad.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool. Here, look how silver it is.
It looks like a cologne ad.
Oh, man. The nostalgia is so real. I'm just looking through all the games you're passing, like Mortal Kombat and Command & Conquer and
Tetris Plus.
Tetris Plus.
From Jalico.
There you go.
Jalico had the Tetris license for
wait,
some reason.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? That came to PlayStation and Saturn?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
Tetris Plus.
When I was in middle school, maybe high school, probably middle school, we figured out that you could just walk freely into the back hallways of shopping malls. This is in Scottsdale, Arizona. You could just like open up a door and then there'd be like passages, like you could just go on
in
the
between them.
Mall.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be a bad kid in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went back behind, I think it was behind a Babbage's or whatever it was, EB at the time. And it was the year the Saturn came out. The Saturn was a total flop. Like, people did not buy the Saturn. And I think it might have been this fall. And they had a box out back that was like there's their dumpster and then their box of like just stuff that they're going to put in the dumpster later. And it was all Saturn swag.
Oh, wow.
It was like shirts and buttons and everything.
Did you grab it?
Yeah.
Couldn't get rid of it.
Nice.
You got them.
Yeah.
Nice.
And to this day, sometimes I'll find like a Saturn button just in like a box of like stuff I had in high school.
Like nobody wanted.
That's awesome.
Right. Also stealing, but
it was definitely in the garbage. It wasn't that bad kid type stuff.
Dumpster diving.
Yeah, it was dumpster diving essentially.
On page 286, there's a preview for a PlayStation FMV game called Fox Hunt.
Okay.
Which I've never heard of, but there's all these like
I've never heard of that either.
All these shots of this FMV.
And look at those quality actors.
That Henry Winkler.
The preview says when kind of looks like him. When full motion video CD-ROM games first came to video gaming, they were crude at best.
Yeah.
Press a few buttons, watch some grainy video, and go on to the next stage.
But now it's 1996.
The FMV fad
so
stagnated,
much better.
And companies ditched their FMV projects as they were month old severed heads. Of all the companies that have produced FMV games, Capcom is probably the last name you could possibly think of, but Capcom is responsible for Fox Hunt.
Does this have a byline?
No, their previews don't have bylines.
Here's a question. When did the ESRB come out?
96, I think.
No, it's 1994 because Wario's Woods on NES has an ESRB rating.
So half those games I played just going, hey, can I rent them? And you walked into a video store and nobody cared what type of game you rented.
Of course not. They still don't.
Wait, well, I know.
But can a kid not buy something in America?
Well,
you can buy whatever you want.
No, you can go to a retailer now, and kids, I mean, I have 3 of them, so I know. My 12-year-old could not buy something rated R. They ask you. They'll say,
no
hey,
way.
Yes, absolutely.
No way.
They never, I think you're going to a good GameStop. There's other ones you can go to. They don't care.
I'm just saying it's weird that all these
your kids just haven't found the right GameStop.
That's probably true.
I got kicked out of Time Cop when I was underage in the theater.
Wow.
Okay.
A guy came up and asked us how old we were all, the mid-movie.
Did you have a fake mustache back then?
There's a preview for Robotron X on the PlayStation. It tried to update Robotron.
I played Robotron.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, Robotron there was a 3D. Nintendo 64 version.
Yeah. That's where I played it.
It's a different game, though. It was called Robotron.
I don't know.
2184 or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, the editors are imagining what other old arcade games could be given the X treatment.
Yeah.
So there's a little sidebar that says Joust X.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's no secret that a huge amount of retro games have come out lately. This is probably due to the fact that although these games are far from being graphically superior, they are a lot of fun when it comes to gameplay and replay value. Robotron X is far from being a retro game, but it is based on the old Robotron. Could Robotron X be the start of a new trend? Could remakes of old arcade classics be on their way? Time will tell. But it would be interesting to see Joust X or Bubbles X come along.
Bubbles X.
Bubbles X.
No Bubbles?
No.
Oh, man.
Isn't that Michael Jackson?
Play Monkeys? They have it at California Extreme, but it's a Williams game, same people as Robotron, 2 joysticks. And it's a sink with a drain in the middle. And then you are a bubble.
You're not like the scrubber. No.
You have to try to not go
in. You're a bubble, and a witch has a scrubber that comes by every once in a while.
Oh,
and
you know, that makes perfect sense.
Like, it's like Katamari, where you get bigger and bigger as the bubble.
Oh. Through,
and there's like a razor that you're not supposed to touch, and then there's like cockroaches.
So some dude was getting high over his sink, and he's like, this is a game idea.
That's how out of ideas they were by 1982. Yeah. They're like, there's a game about everything. They're like, not everything.
Not yet.
No, that's really funny. A bad idea. Oh, but it's still an original.
They look so terrible. Looking at these photos, though, it like just appreciating what Mario World was, or not Mario World, but 64 when it was released. These are so bad.
Yeah.
You're so bad.
Finally, we're in the letters section at the end. Here's a letter from Ryan in Branson, Missouri, who says, I'm getting tired of all the crud being thrown at Nintendo because they decided to make the N64 a cartridge-based system.
Yeah.
They're of all this crud.
They're a billion-dollar company.
Get some Huggies,
They're Branson. A billion-dollar company. I'm sure they know what they're doing. When have they ever let us down, other than releasing the Virtual Boy?
Ooh.
Just by playing Super Mario 64. You should realize that Nintendo is serious about this system, so why doubt them? And who cares if you have to pay $10 or $20 more than an average PlayStation or Saturn game? If the game is good, then pay the measly fee.
Ooh,
his entire logic is that they're billionaires and they could never make a mistake.
Well, here's another one from
billionaires are largely infallible groups of people.
Here's a counterpoint from Adam, who sent his letter via email. He says, I'm a college student who owns a Sony PlayStation, and I have started to smile a little bit when the now loading screen appears on a game. I say this because PlayStation and Saturn CD games have virtually the same graphics and gameplay as Nintendo 64 games, but at a lower price. If I can save $20 on a CD game over an N64 cartridge game, then I don't really mind having to wait in between stages or rounds. It's a lot of money if you can save $20 on every game. I believe that I am not alone in this opinion and urge every other CD game owner to smile and pat your wallet when the now loading screen.
I didn't realize how bitter people were when the Nintendo 64 came out. Like, I didn't realize this was a console war.
It's like, hey, by the way, I just installed a mod chip.
Also, I thought PlayStation players were just like, I don't care about Nintendo 64.
The PlayStation went on to outsell the N64 like five times over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's crazy.
So I like everyone agreed with that second guy right there.
Yeah, they did. But the crazy thing is, besides obviously being a Nintendo guy and all the IPs that it had, I hated load times. I actively disliked most of PlayStation 1 games because of load times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Final Fantasy VII had some brutal load times that I used to watch at a friend's
house. You know what you should have done? Should have patted your wallet and bought that $20.
Exactly, man.
It was a long way.
Need a time machine.
Every single time. Think about what you could be spending that $20 on.
Oh, man.
All right, one last letter for this issue. It comes from Lee, who needs help with dad. He says, my name is Lee. I'm a 12-year-old boy with no money to get an N64.
My dad
says that it is a waste of money. He says that the Nintendo 64 will be garbage when a better system comes out. Tell me something to say or do to convince him otherwise, please.
Wow.
It gets better.
Well, so Lee,
brutal. I forgot.
Tell me something I can tell my dad.
Sorry, I forgot. I read these two out of order. They have a good response. So first, let me read this previous letter that says, I heard the Nintendo 64 would be getting a few games with porn in them. If my mom found out they were going to do that, she would never let me have a Nintendo 64. Please tell me they are not.
Holy cow.
their response was, sorry, we can't tell you that. Nintendo has an age-old habit of putting too much gratuitous sex and violence in their
games. What? I love that this 12-year-old's like, no porn, please!
When Lee's asking for help on how to convince his dad to let him get a Nintendo 64, they say, why don't you tell him about all the great porn?
Oh my gosh. They removed the blood from Mortal Kombat. There's no porn.
Funniest things I've ever seen in a video game magazine. That is so good.
Oh, can you imagine that awesome playground rumor? It's like, I heard there's going to be lots of porn in the Nintendo 64. And then some kid's like, yes. And the other kid's like, my mom, what is she going to think?
And the other guy's like, let me ask my dad about this. And his dad's like, that thing is garbage. And he's like, I'm writing into a video game magazine. We're setting this
through. Man.
Oh, it's so good.
God, newscast?
It's so funny. Yeah.
It's like, we found out tonight that pornography is being sold on the new Nintendo game system.
Have access
your
to this.
Your game tapes have nudes?
Do you remember even Street Fighter, though? It's like, Chun-Li's outfit was too revealing in Street Fighter 2. I remember people having an issue. It's like, she does the hurricane kick, and it's like, whoa, that is bad.
Yeah.
The hurricane kick.
I got the vapors.
Too revealing.
What do you think that the worst game on Nintendo 64 would have been? like
in terms of like
Mortal Kombat,
Chameleon Twist.
Yeah, Gex. It sounds like sex.
It's true.
Wow. It's true.
Enter the Gecko. What do you
maybe
think they're doing?
Game with all the
Enter the Sexo.
Maybe that arcade game with all the guts
but
and butts.
But that's the thing, though. Arcades were bad. Like, I lived at the arcade. Like, Say No to Drugs was where that was happening. Mm-hmm. Arcades were not a good thing. Like, those Williams logos and everything in the beginning of Ninja Turtles.
In hindsight, Super Smash Brothers does sound like it's full of porn.
Forget Bubbles X, Bubbles Triple X.
Ooh,
watch out for that witch.
Oh, man. But anyways.
Gentlemen.
I'm still laughing at the dad.
That's
who's
so
like,
good.
The N64
well,
is
yeah,
garbage.
Like, because our dads played like Galaga in yeah, television, and that was it. They did not go to the arcade.
They had
the
an Atari, and they're like,
that
I'm never doing
it.
This again.
I just think about like me walking into like the living room. My dad's sitting there with like his feet up. He's got his reading glasses on, and I got a video game magazine, and I'm like, look at this thing. It's called the N64. I really want it for Christmas. And he's like, this looks like garbage.
Gentlemen, I know we're running long. Will you indulge me and the listeners in a round of 20 questions?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. Our suggestion this week comes from Alistair McRae in Edinburgh, UK. Let the questioning begin.
Nice.
Is it garbage?
actually, no. This game was well received.
Oh. Oh, great. Right.
If you want to count that question.
No, can we count it? We'll count it.
Yeah,
is this pre-1990?
No.
There it is.
Okay. It's going to be 20 questions, everybody.
Is it Kid Icarus? No, just kidding. is it, was it on, was it a Nintendo franchise?
Was it a Nintendo franchise? Meaning?
Was it on a Nintendo platform?
Yes.
Okay.
But not, yeah, so yeah, we don't know.
Pre-2000?
The publisher yet.
Was it pre-2000? No.
Okay.
Is it a side-scrolling game?
No.
Okay.
That's five.
Does this have 3D graphics?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a first-person shooter?
No.
We're burning through these real quick.
Was this on a cartridge-based medium?
No.
Okay, so there's a disc-based
Nintendo a game.
It was probably Wii or Wii U.
Wait a minute. Is it a disc-based game that was on a Nintendo system?
Yeah.
So GameCube... Yeah. Wii U,
okay.
But not Switch.
But this is post 2000.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be any of the DSs.
And it was well received.
Or Game Boy or DS or anything.
And it wasn't a first person shooter.
Yeah.
So we assume it's multi platform then, right?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
We really it's don't know much.
Well,
we could isolate it to the system.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Was this on one of the Wii consoles?
Yes.
Damn it. was this on Wii U?
No.
Okay, so we
didn't need that.
Oh, no, we kind of did.
The library is like this and then this.
I know, but
okay, right, so this
that's
is
a Wii game.
You're 10 in.
10 in.
Oof.
So it's a Wii. It was on Wii. It doesn't mean it's only a Wii game. I like to ask if it has motion controls, but then Damon mocks me for asking.
Yeah, don't do that. We know it probably does.
That's what he says.
Yeah, it probably does. It's waggling. Era.
Okay.
Was this made in Japan?
Yes.
Are there sequels to this game?
No.
What?
Mm-hmm. Zack and Wiki?
Kid Icarus. No, it's kidding.
Endless Ocean.
Endless Ocean has a sequel.
Does it?
Yeah, I think there was an Endless Ocean 2, right?
But it's endless.
That's why there can be endless sequels.
Okay, we're at 12.
What's next? You're going to tell me there's multiple Final Fantasies?
Was Endless Ocean on Wii or GameCube?
Wii.
Okay.
No sequel.
I am questioning your knowledge about the Endless Ocean franchise now, Sam. Don't take your phone out.
I'm trying to remember for later. I'll clarify that.
Do we ask if it was... This burnt me last time, which is why I don't want to ask the multiplayer question now.
Why?
Well, because last time there
How
was a caveat.
How many Wii games do you know?
Well, not a lot.
That's
what
makes it good. So if it's answered...
It's good, and so...
So it never got sequels.
It's a good question.
Right?
Okay, does it have multiplayer? Does it have... Sorry.
Usually Damon doesn't know the answer to this.
Okay, so let me... That's what I'm doing. I'm doing the caveat. Does it have...
Do you know the answer to whether or not there's multiplayer?
Yeah.
is it an online or multiplayer game?
What? Either of the two?
Well, that's why I try to wrap it into a question.
You guys want him to ask this question?
Yeah.
Is it an online or multiplayer game? No.
Okay. That's good.
It's so weird. We can just stack questions.
Yeah, I mean, I tried you last time.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so
we actually don't know the publisher, right? We have no idea.
Or
genre. We don't kind of know the genre either, because not side scroller, not first person shooter.
Okay. Did this have realistic graphics?
No,
it's a Wii game.
Well, it's a Wii game. Well, no,
but that would be Red Steel or like.
Oh yeah.
Realistic graphics is helpful to eliminate because then you get the cartoony graphics games.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I'll give you that. So now we've only narrowed it down to 980 games available on the Nintendo Wii.
There's that many cartoony graphics. We got.
Ooh, I think I got one. Is it a sports game?
No.
Dang.
It's 15.
There's a lot of sports games.
I'm thinking it's going to be like Elbits or ZachyWiki.
I love you, CJ, but you're where the questions go to die.
I did that last time, Brian. You weren't here.
Elbits is a good one. Elbits or ZachyWiki is a good one. And we didn't ask about motion controls, right? We actually have very little information.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. A lot of information.
Ooh. But
does this game
It's a Wii. It's got to have motion controls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does this game have voice acting?
I'm pretty sure. Yes.
Hmm. Remember Deadly Creatures?
I knew you wanted to ask some specific question.
That had realistic graphics.
I mean, but look, like almost every game had voice acting by them.
It's like 2008.
Elbits.
Elbits probably had a bunch. Retracting that. I'm not confident in whether or not it has voice acting.
Okay.
Nintendo was famous for being behind a voice act. Not even Twilight Princess had voice. Twilight Princess didn't even have voice acting.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just them though. All of their games have gotten hundreds of sequels. So
we got the answer retracted.
I think you're hovering around the right area with the ZachyWiki, Elbits, potentially Endless Ocean corner of the Wii. Wii library.
What would kind of narrow that time? I mean, I guess publisher would help. We could ask if it's just Capcom. Wasn't that
ZachyWiki? Go for it.
Is this a Capcom published game?
Yes.
That was good. That was real good.
I mean, that puts us in a really safe zone.
Yeah. So
have we mentioned the game yet?
Yes.
Yay. It's gotta be it.
It's got to be ZachyWiki.
No, it doesn't have to be.
What else did we say? It's made by Capcom. Endless Ocean is Sega, I think.
I don't remember if this game has a monkey in it.
Okay.
You guys didn't say many other games.
We didn't say many other games.
Because I ran into this last time and guessed Kid Icarus, and then I didn't go with my gut. So just rule it out.
Yeah, I just wanted to narrow it down. But I think, does this have a pirate theme?
Yes.
All right, is it ZachyWiki?
Yes. There it is. Nice.
ZachyWiki something.
You got to go with your gut.
With your guess, it was 19.
Okay, nice.
Whoa, I didn't know got that.
Yeah. It was like the quest for Barbados or something like that.
Nice, man.
Barbaros Treasure.
Barbaros Treasure.
There you go. That was never ported anywhere. It's amazing.
2000
is crazy. Half of it. I know IGN gushed.
2007, Point and Click Adventure. Did it have voice acting? I don't remember. You would think it would, but maybe it didn't.
It did.
We did gush about it. We described it as a pants creaming adventure.
Get your huggies.
For the whole family. For a whole family of diapers.
Did you play it?
That our mission is to find out who wrote that.
Was Wiki? He was like some sort of.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he was like some sort of like.
Because you're like
was
a pirate
Yeah,
that actually sounds like Pear and I think about it.
Yeah, we'll find out. Yeah. Little bullet note on this episode.
We got to go ask him about that.
Well, guys, we had fun here today.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Thank you for joining me to this.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
Penultimate episode of GameScoop in 2018. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Damon. Thank you.
My name is Damon.
Why is there Mad Libs just sitting there?
We didn't get to it. We didn't get to it.
Oh, my gosh.
Next week.
I leave you this week with my final music release of the year. It's a synthwave track called Turbo Mode. I hope it makes you feel like you're in a montage in an 80s action comedy. Turbo Mode is available now in your favorite music service. My name is Damon, this is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.